us this morning. I'd like to share with you from the 17th chapter of the book of Genesis. I'll read verses 15 through 17. And then out of the 18th chapter of Genesis, I'll pick up at verse 9 where Reverend Ramsey left off, and supporting text coming from the 21st chapter of Genesis. So we're going to be in Genesis this morning, and we're going to walk with Abraham just for a few moments. The Bible reads in the 17th chapter of Genesis, beginning at verse 15, "And God said unto Abram, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her." Right. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed, said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear?" 18th chapter, verse 9. "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" The 21st chapter, verses 5 and 6. "And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me." We ought to use the thought of a subject on these verses. This morning we'd like to use the subject, "A Day When God Got the Last Laugh." A day when God got the last laugh. You ought to get the noise. Hallelujah. There's something about that man. Hallelujah. Makes a difference in all of our lives. We just don't know what to do. We can call on the name Jesus, and he knows everything that we need to do in our lives. Hallelujah. We thank God for the choir this morning as they lift up the name of Jesus in song, because we need to know who God is. We can't serve him correctly if we don't know who he is. Once we know who he is and all that he means to us or should mean to us, it ought to give us a mind to have a praise on our lips. It's because of the grace and the love of a mighty God. He's allowed us to go through another week's journey. And on this Sunday morning, we have another opportunity to praise and to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're able this morning to say that the Lord is my shepherd. And when we have a mind to take it on a personal note, that we know him for ourselves, then we ought to be grateful this morning just to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Not worried or concerned about your neighbor so much, but be aware that God has brought you through. Nobody knows what you've gone through. Nobody knows whether you were there just laboring through the night. And sometimes we lay there and we are not able to find sleep. But it's a good thing that when we can't find that sleep at night, we find ourselves talking to a higher power. And as we talk to God, God has a way of soothing our mind. God has a way of reassuring us that things are going to be all right. And somewhere in the midst of the wee mornings of the hour, we find that we can drift on off to sleep. And somehow when God touches us with what we call that finger of love and we wake up in the morning, we have a mind just to tell God, I thank you because I couldn't rest last night, but you came just when I needed you the most. God is the one that will always keep his promise, and he'll be there when nobody else will. He'll be there when we have a mind sometime to give up, but God re-encourages us that all we have to do is just hold on and hold out. Now, I can't speak for you this morning, but I can say that I'm truly glad to be in the house of God one more time. I'm glad to be able to look upon your faces one more time and glad that things are as well as they are. We realize that in the midst of our joy, in the midst of our blessings, somebody is going through. And if we be real with ourselves, even some of us ourselves, as we praise God and as we give him glory and thanks, we still are going through. But the good thing is to know that all you got to do is just have a mind to hold on to God's unchanging hands. I thank God because he allows me another opportunity to be here with what I call my spiritual family. And when I'm with my spiritual family, it's your prayers that seem to help me stay in the press. You know, you got to have a mind that you're going to stay in and hang in there. Because there are going to be some things that are going to come up in life, and sometimes they're beyond your control. Sometimes you bring things on yourself. But regardless of whatever the case may be, God is a loving, forgiving God. And God is always there. God will be there when it seems like everybody has closed their turned their back on you and closed doors in your face. God stands there with his arms wide open saying, come. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that invitation that invites me to come to the Lord our God, and he tells us to come, and when we come to God, it even says in one scripture, said, all you that are burdened and are heavy laden. So God understands that there are times in your life when you're going through. He understands that there are times when not only are you going through, but things seem to be compiling on you. It's one thing to have one thing on your plate, but how many of you know that before you get that thing worked out, sometimes something else is already there? And before you can get that worked out, something else is already there. So in the midst of it all, you still got to praise and thank God for who and what he has done. I wonder this morning, is there anybody in here that can reflect back to where we were in life some time ago? The Native Indian would say many moons ago. Yeah. You think about where you was in life as to where you are right now. And where you are now, it doesn't give us an opportunity or a reason to boast, but we can say, I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. Am I talking to anybody in here this morning that know that you are a lot better off now than you were some years ago? Some of us are better off than we were some months ago, some weeks ago, even some days ago. We have grown to come to the reality that God is a loving God. And then sometimes when you think about, a lot of times when we were coming along, all we thought about was riches. All we thought about was having the things that we needed or things that we wanted. More so, we thought about the things we wanted more so than the things we needed. Because we seem to be a selfish people. I don't care how much God has blessed us. It just don't seem like we got enough. But how many of you would be real in saying that I may still seemingly be poor and in poverty, but I'm rich because I got Jesus. I'm rich because I know where my strength comes from. I'm rich because I know that if I get hungry, God got cattle upon 1,000 hills. And all I got to do is ask God. I have not because I ask not. We must consider this morning the fact that the death train did run this morning. And undoubtedly, you were not on board. So those of us that are yet counted amongst the living, the Bible declared that all that have breath ought to praise the Lord our God. Then we have to understand that even though we didn't catch that train this morning, there will be another train running this afternoon, and there'll be a midnight express on tonight, and there's another train scheduled to come out again in the morning. So don't get all crazy in your mind not realizing that you don't know what day you're going to get your pickup. Hallelujah, Jesus. The reality of it is that you don't have to be sick and diagnosed that you're going to die. Just the mere fact that you got life tells us through the word of God that it's appointed unto every one of us a time that we are going to die. But don't die before your time. Live while the blood is running warm in your vein. Live while you still have life. Don't live your life unconditionally, beginning to think that you are limited to what you can and cannot do. I believe that anything that you trust God with, God is able to do what you need him to do. And if you're going through this morning, those are those of us that are having what we call hard times. You got to learn to still trust and believe in the power of God. You got to have faith enough to believe that whatever it is, this too shall pass. You remember when we used to hear the old saints say, this too shall pass? And we were beginning to wonder, what in the world are they talking about? But we've lived long enough to have some things to come up in our lives. We live long enough to realize that it's not like it was when you were a child and you didn't have a worry in the world. Now you have responsibilities. You got to take care of yourself. You got children to take care of. You got grandchildren to help take care of. So you got to realize that it's not all about you anymore. A lot of us miss our blessings because we are so concerned about the Joneses. Don't worry about the Joneses. All you got to worry about is you. Do you have your house in order? Have you swept around your own front door before you try to tell somebody else how to clean up around their house? Every one of us in here, I don't care how holy and sanctified you are, you're not exempt from going through trials and tribulations. There's going to be trouble that's going to come in most of our lives. And when trouble comes, you got to be ready. And when I say be ready to just keep on praying. Be ready to keep on telling God, thank you. How many of you ever had a mind that I want to thank you for my heartaches and my trouble, because the heartaches that I've had made me realize that I wasn't in this thing all by myself. Those days when I was laid on the bed of affliction and I didn't know whether I was going to get better or not, but somehow, some way, you made me feel better. You made everything work out for my good. And I don't know about nobody else, but when I began to think of the goodness of Jesus and all that God has done for me, I cannot help but tell my God, thank you. See, I didn't come in here just to be seen by you. I come to give you a message this morning that there's going to come a day when God is going to get the last laugh in this life. We shall have trials and tribulations. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have already overcome the world. We find in many places in the word of God that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. Crazy question. How many of you in here got any problems? Anybody in here with some problems this morning? Now, how many of you realize or understand that there are times when you can't work your own problem out all by yourself? Now, you may be private. You may be one of those people that's proud and you don't like a lot of folk in your business. Most folk don't. All right. But one thing you have to understand is that your business is God's business. You don't have no business that don't include God. Because even when you get out of his will, you still are doing something against his will, so you're going against God. Right. When you're able to say that I'm doing things in his will, you don't have anything to boast about because you're doing what you ought to do. Right. Why somebody got to praise you for singing a song or praise you for praying a prayer, praise you for preaching a message? That's what I ought to be doing. We act like we're doing somebody a favor. You're doing yourself a favor when you're in God's will. If we say that we walk by faith, then we got to live as though we are walking by faith. We got to know that there's some things that have already been done, and then there's some things that we are waiting in that transitional stage for God to come and do what we've asked him to do. How many of you know that there's sometimes when you pray to God and you bring it to the altar, and we say we bring it to the altar and we leave it there? Well, I'm going to leave it there, but I'm not going to leave it there just for it to be laying there. I want God to pick it up and do what I need him to do with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you come to the altar, a lot of times what you ask God for is not going to happen right then. But you got to walk away in faith almost as if it's already happened. And somebody's going to look at you and not understand where you get so much joy and enthusiasm from, because I know you're going through. But how many of you know that you can go through in praise? You can go through and not let the enemy have the upper hand or the last say on your life. Who got the last say on your life? It ought to be God. When we consider and we continue to hear all of the madness that is going on in Washington, D.C., let us know that we can always depend on the word and the will of God. As the old saints used to say, it may not come when you want it, but he's always on time. And because he is an on-time God, when God blesses us, it makes us happy. And I wonder this morning, is there anybody in here happy? Anybody got a merry heart? You just happy. You got trials, you got struggles, but in the midst of your troubles, you still got some joy. Am I talking to anybody in here? You know, of those times when you say, out of all that I've been through, I still got joy. And I want to find those folk in the house this morning that's been through something or going through something right now, but still you hadn't allowed the enemy to rob you of your joy. You see, when you lose your joy, you're in a bad situation. Because when you don't have no joy, you feel sorry for yourself and you look down on other folk and you don't want nobody else to be happy. You ever seen folk that get mad because you got a smile on your face? You ever seen folk that don't like it because they heard that you were going to die, but you fooled them. You didn't die. You got up back out and you stepped back out there on the street and you've been doing your thing. And they're worried about the fact I thought you were about to die. Well, everybody got to know that you're not going to die until God get ready. You may be down and out. You may be almost dead. But as long as there's a breath in your body, you ought to still have a mind to tell God thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got so many folk with so many complaints, murmuring and complaining all the time, and you're not even going through nothing. You take somebody like this woman standing right here, go through week after week. But you know what? I haven't heard her complain yet. She's not a superhuman woman. I know that the pain has to get on her sometimes. But because she believed in a higher power, and that higher power is not this man standing here in this road, that higher power goes beyond me. See, it's all right to go in and pray for one another, but you better know that when you pray to God, that it's not you just the vessel that God is using, but there's a higher power that sits high and he looks down low. And God can do what nobody else can do. King Solomon tells us in Proverbs 15 and 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Then he says in 17 and 22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. So when you are happy, it does your whole being good. You heard somebody say that when you smile, the world smiles with you. Well, just think what it would be like if you just broke out in a laugh. See, what the problem is, we don't laugh enough. We got so many folk that are just so holy and sanctified that they look like they're smelling something or look like something wrong with them. And it don't draw nobody to Jesus. You don't have to be that serious. It's all right to smile. It's all right to laugh. It's all right to have fun. Even in the house of God, when you get so holy you can't laugh, you're messing up your own life. Every one of us ought to be able to laugh sometimes. Have you got a sense of humor this morning? Or you so thin-skinned that everything somebody say, it just rub you the wrong way? Or then maybe you're one of those folks that you can dish it out, but you can't take it. Am I talking to anybody in here? You always got a little smart mouth to say to somebody else, but as soon as they spring back on you, then you want to get wind in your jaws and roll your sleeves up. Well, I want to let you know that I don't have to fight you. I got somebody to fight my battle. If I want to laugh, I'll laugh when I get ready to laugh. Some folks don't like it when you're sitting around and you're laughing. They begin to think they're talking about me. What makes you so special that everybody got to be talking about you? A lot of times it's your guilt and your conscience that convicts you and make you think somebody talking about you. They don't know your business, but they can read your character by the way you carry yourself. Some of us. All of us got a laugh. Some of you are known by your laugh. You can hear them and say, I know who that is. Because their laugh is distinctive. Every one of us got our own individual place in life. And there are times when you ought to be able to laugh. Think about those conversations that you have with your family and with your siblings and sometimes your old friends that you grew up with, and you began to reminisce about your yesterdays. Yeah. And isn't it amazing how you can tell that same story 40 or 50 times, and every time you tell it, it's still funny? Yeah. You'll never forget the good times that you had in life. There was sometimes, you ever realize, even sometimes when I used to get a whooping, now it's funny? Wasn't funny then, but it was funny after the fact. I never shall forget the day of, you know, when we had those mattresses, and then we had them springs up under the mattresses. And you can put two pair of them springs together, and then you put the mattresses on there, and all you had to get on one end and just start jumping. So I get on one end and jump, and Robert Jr. be on the other end bouncing, but we bounced one morning too much. Mama got through with us. Wasn't no more bouncing on the beds. Wasn't no more roller coaster beds. But I always thought about the fact that I say, Mama, you done killed me. I can't tell you what she said. But I shut up. Laughter. It makes us feel better. Sometimes you got friends and associates that you love for them to be in your company because they say these little crazy things that pulls out laughter. And we need to laugh sometimes. We need to let it go and just have a good time in Jesus. But you got to understand that there are times when there are different types of laughter, and your laughter makes a statement. So now, what we want to deal with this morning is we want to talk about laughter, but we want to talk about having laughter in a doubtful manner. Laughter means the sound or act of laughing. Happiness expressed by laughing. It can also be an expression of mockery or scorn and amusement. So sometimes people are making fun of you. So the thing is that you don't want to be laughed at. You want to be laughed with.
All right.
So now, the Bible says, that there was a man by the name of Abram, that he changed his name to Abraham. His wife's name was Sarai, and he changed her name to Sarah. The Bible said, I will bless her. I'm going to give thee a son of her. And she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. So what the Bible is saying is that from her offsprings, even kings are going to be born. Then Abraham fell upon his face, and he laughed, saying in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Abraham heard what God had to say. But Abraham, knowing that I'm 99 years old, going on 100, and here you are talking about I'm getting ready to have a baby. He laughed. But now, be careful of what you laugh at. Everything that you hear is not funny. And sometimes, even if it's funny, you still can't laugh. Because sometimes laughing makes it seem like that you are rude or you are making mockery of someone. Have you ever thought in your mind about something that you have experienced and or something that you've done and you just sort of laughed at yourself? You were like, I don't believe I got that crazy. Well, I don't believe I said such and such. I don't believe I allowed you to punch my buttons like that, and I'm acting like this. And you get amused at yourself. So even there are times that you have to laugh at the things that you do on your own. Well, now, when we get to the 18th chapter, God sends three men by Abraham's house. And the Bible said that when he got there, he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let me give you some water. Let me give you something to wash your feet in. Let me find you some bread to eat in. Let me give you a little something, because in that day and time, it was a great thing to have good hospitality. It was showing love. It was showing the fear and the love of God to allow someone to come in your home. And they've been walking through the dusty land, so they offered them water to wash their dirty feet and to give them just a bite to eat. So in the midst of him feeding these three men, Abraham hastened to the tent where Sarah was, and he said, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it and make cakes, and so that we can feed our guests. Gave it to the young man to dress it, and they took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Now, as they were enjoying this meal, they said, where is Sarah, thy wife? Now, notice that Abraham hadn't told them about Sarah. Abraham hadn't told them what his wife's name was, but because they come from God, they already knew everything that they needed to know. So they said, and Abraham said, she is in the tent. The Bible said that he said, I certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, is going to have a son. Now, Sarah, you know, a tent, we got thin walls, these paneling walls. We still can hear what's going on through the wall. Sarah heard what was going on. And the Bible says, as Sarah heard them, she began to think in her mind, look here now, I'm old and my man is old. So how in the world are we going to have a baby? Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. So she didn't make an outburst. She was inside the tent, but she chuckled within herself. Look at God. The Bible says, the Lord said unto Abraham, where did Sarah laugh? Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? So in other words, Sarah done doubted me. He's asking Abraham, now he need to be talking to Sarah. But he's asking Abraham, Abraham, why is your wife in there laughing? Because I said that she's going to have a child. And she said, is she really going to have a child? But then he asked Abraham a profound question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So when he asked Abraham that, the realization of who God is, it began to spring up in Abraham, and Abraham realized that I serve a God that can do anything. And the Bible says, at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Now, most of us, we began to think that it is in our best interest to have our children while we're young. We realize that when we have these children, it takes a whole lot of energy to keep up with the children of today. We realize that there are a lot of ladies that are walking around in the age of 35 and 40 that began to think that my biological clock is ticking away, and I need to get on about my business if I'm going to have a child. But now here we have a woman by the name of Sarah. Sarah had been blessed by a mighty God. She had to be blessed because she was a wife of Abraham. But even in all of her blessings, Sarah had never conceived and had a child. But you began to think at the age of 90 years old, she's already accepted the fact that I'm never going to have a baby. She accepted the fact that I'm not going to be able to give my man a child. But here come the Lord one day. The Lord came in and began to address Sarah and Abraham and let them know that one day you're going to have a baby boy. And when you have this boy, I already got a name for him. I want you to name him Isaac. And that Isaac is going to be a blessing to all mankind. But I want to let you know that you're never too old to do what God will have you to do. There's somebody in the house this morning that is wondering how in the world that God that sits high and he looked down low. How can God do what nobody else can do? But I found out in the word of God that Sarah realized that she was under the power of a mighty God. And what the Lord said, when I come back this time next year, you will be have conceived and you're going to have a boy child. I stopped by to let you know that God can do anything that he want to do. All you got to do is trust the power of God. I want to let you know that he will get the last laugh. Because you might laugh at what somebody else said that God has done in their life. And you might say that God didn't do that or God cannot do that. But I stopped by to tell you there's nothing too hard for the power of my God. There's nothing too hard this morning that God cannot do. For I found out that God blessed Sarah, and Sarah conceived and had the son by the name of Isaac. And I began to believe that the Bible tells us this morning that Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And Sarah said, God have made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. In other words, look at God. God made me realize that he is the one with all power. God made me realize that he can take my barren body and God can make me whole one more time. God made me so that I was able to have that baby, and now I can tell the world when they hear about the fact that I laughed at what God had to say. Then I don't have to laugh, and you don't have to laugh at me, but you can laugh with me, because I got joy, unspeakable joy, for the Lord God had blessed me with a baby boy, and I thank God for this baby boy, for the Lord God gave him to me in my old age. I was 90 years old when I had this child, and God had blessed me to be the child that God wants me to be. I'm strong enough to nurse the child. I'm strong enough to raise the child. And then we got to look at brother Abraham. Abraham was a strong man that God gave him his spunk back. Not only did he have Isaac, but the Bible said that by one of his other wives, he had five more sons. So you look at this 100-year-old man that is still doing the do. Still know exactly what to do. And God has blessed him to be able this morning to be able to do what nobody else can do. We began to realize the power of God. See, when we look at this story, we might look at it one way, but we ought to look at the power of a mighty God. When the Bible says, when God said, is there anything too hard for the power of a mighty God? If God can take a 90-year woman and a 100-year-old man and make a baby come out of their body, then God can take your situation, no matter what it might be. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. God can take your old body and give you your spunk back. God can tell you when you got arthritis and you wasn't able to lift up holy hands. God can give you your spunk back and you can lift up holy hands to the Lord. Anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? Anybody love God with all your heart? I want to let you know that God will have the last laugh. Anybody got a laugh in their spirit this morning? Sometimes you got to laugh at the devil when he tell you that you're not going to make it. You got to laugh at the devil when he put a something block in your way. You got to laugh at the devil when the devil had that nay-nay spirit. But I thank God for a yes spirit. I thank God for a loving God. I thank God for a powerful God. I thank God that has all power in his hand. That God can do anything but fail. God will bless you on high and from down low. I thank my God this morning that if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side this morning, where would we be? Anybody got a thank you spirit? Anybody got a hallelujah spirit? Anybody glad that you serve a mighty God? A God that can look beyond your fault? A God that can do the impossible? A God that can take where men, if some things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible this morning. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. You may laugh at him today, but God will get the last laugh. For when Sarah laughed within herself, not knowing that God is an all-knowing God, God said, Sarah, I hear you. And Sarah was afraid out of fear. Said, no, I didn't laugh. Say, nay, but thou didst laugh. So in other words, you can say what you want, but I know you laugh because I'm God. But I'm going to get the last laugh Because you laughed in doubt. But I'm going to show you my power. Because I have the power to make happen whatever comes out of my mouth. God said it, and it happened. God says things to you in your life. If you believe, and if you laugh with joy, have a merry heart, it can happen. Don't let the circumstance and what you see with your human eyes begin to deter you or make you turn away and think that it's not going to happen. Always remember that question. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And you can immediately say no. God can do anything that he wants to do. That's the kind of God we serve this morning. A loving, all-knowing, ever-watching God. And God says to us this morning, lighten up. Laugh. Enjoy life. Don't walk around all the time like you just got to be so serious and you got to be on the holy mountain all the time. Come down in the valley. Enjoy your brothers and sisters. Laugh while you can. And I guarantee you, if you laugh and bring joy, you will have a drawing power that will help somebody see some Jesus in you this morning.